Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Our next segment is about a century and a half of invention and innovation. And Meghna, that's a clue for a bit of a quiz I'm going to give you and our listeners. So are you ready?
Feeling a little nervous, but yes,
okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, you'll do fine, I'm sure. So here goes. I'm going to play two pieces of sound, and your job is to identify them. And then this is the hard part. You have to tell me how they're connected, okay?
Okay.
All right, so here goes. Here's your first piece of sound. Okay, Meghna, so what was that?
Okay, so my first impression, and this is probably really dating me, but that sounds like the modem that we used to have when I was a kid and using dial-up. Okay, close. So what else uses a phone? A fax machine?
Fax machine, correct. That was the sound of a fax machine transmitting. Okay, well done. So here's your next piece of sound. This is a little easier. Here goes.
Yeah. You're quick.
Kind of infectious, right? Well, let's listen to that again. I like that.
Yeah. You're quick.
All right. So who are those guys?
Tom and Ray, the car talk guys.
And you are correct. But now comes the hard part. What is the connection between the fax machine and Tom and Ray Moliazzi?
You have stumped me on that one.
Okay. So the truth is, Tom and Ray Moliazzi and the fax machine are all products of MIT.
Oh, actually, they gave the MIT commencement speech some, like, many years ago.
Exactly right, and they studied there, and that's why they're so smart. Anyway, as you know, MIT is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year, and to mark that, the Boston Globe has sifted through 150 years of invention and innovation from the Cambridge campus and put together a list of the top 150 most important accomplishments. These include huge advances in computer technology, biotech and defense, and as well as the fax machine and, as it turns out, the car guys. Now, the full list is going to be published in the Boston Globe magazine this Sunday. And to get a preview, I spoke to Scott Kersner, the Globe's innovation columnist. And welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
And Doug Most, deputy manager of features at the Boston Globe. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks very much.
Okay, so Scott, let me start with you. At number four, we learn about Ray Tomlinson, an MIT alum who did something for the first time in 1971 that we now all pretty much take for granted. What was it?
Well, he wrote this message on his computer, and he decided to send it to someone else on a computer network that was called the ARPANET, which was the internet's predecessor. He didn't exactly know how the address system would work, so he looked for a key on his keyboard that didn't get used a lot called the @ sign, and he sent it to the equivalent of, you know, Anthony at this computer. And so basically he sent the first email. He actually still works at that MIT spin-out company called BBN Technologies in Cambridge, doing all kinds of other research.
Okay, well, let's move now, Doug, toward higher on the list. Bronze metal material at number three, the transistor radio.
Yeah, and in the 30s, there was something called Bell Labs in New Jersey, and three Nobel Prize laureate inventors. One of them was William Shockley, who earned his doctorate at MIT. And these three guys came up with the idea of a tiny little transistor, which at the time, you know, no one could really foresee how important it would be. But some of the first products that took advantage of transistors were hearing aids and portable radios and television. And today, without the transistor, so many things we take for granted today would not exist. And so the transistor was a huge, huge innovation of the 20th century.
Mm. And unfortunately, those guys all went out to California and started the microchip industry out there, you know, started companies like Intel and Fairchild Semiconductor, National Semiconductor. But MIT was kind of the seed of that whole microchip boom that happened in Silicon Valley.
Right.
Okay, now I want to explain to listeners about how this has worked. You guys gave us an advanced copy of this list. We haven't been privy to the two most important inventions to come out of MIT. And so can I push you, Scott or Doug, to give us a taste of what they are?
Number two is something that was a huge moment that happened back in 2000, which was when the Human Genome Project, the first ever map of our sort of genetic code. There were so many people who were involved in that project. It wasn't obviously just one person. It was many. But one of the people who was involved was Eric Lander at MIT, and he had a squad of people who were working on that, and they sort of helped map about one-third of our genetic code. And so that was obviously just a gigantic breakthrough in terms of how we look at our body and what we can learn from our body. So it's hard to not put that so high on our list.
Okay, and Scott, so I'm going to leave this to you, and I feel like I should have, you know, David Letterman's sort of drum roll, the top 10 list, and the number one most important invention, innovation, idea to come out of MIT of the last 150 years.
I think we're not allowed to say, right?
Well, it's not that we're... Yeah, I mean... I
got to ask, right? I'm a pushy reporter,
that's
so I've
got to
ask.
I mean, one of them,
ask.
I don't think it's number one. I mean, MIT alums did create Digital Equipment Corporation, which was the biggest technology company that Massachusetts has ever seen. It was the second biggest tech company in the world for a long time.
That's right.
You know, really introduced computers to a lot of businesses. I don't think that's number one, though, right?
It's not number one. That's on the list, though. I think without saying the actual words, how about if I tell you this? Chances are you do it every day. You do it all day. You might be doing it right now as you're listening to this program, in fact. It's probably not too hard to guess, but MIT had a huge role in its creation, and not only its creation, but also its development, and it's evolving into what it is today.
All right. So there's a big hint, and to find out exactly what it is, you got to pick up the Boston Globe magazine. So there are a ton of other fascinating ideas on this list of 150 ideas and inventions. What stands out? What are some others in the few minutes we have left?
Campbell Soup. There was a guy in the early 1900s who basically had this idea of canned soup, and sort of looked at how the soup was put into this can and said that if we put less water into the can and make it more condensed, then the person at home can simply add more water. And a company was renamed, you know, the Campbell Soup Company, because of that little idea that he had. So there are so many ideas within this magazine that have nothing to do with technology, but that affect our lives every day.
Scott Kirsner, let me just come back to you. What's your sort of top pick from this list?
One of my favorite, I'm just a big movie buff, and I never realized that the company Technicolor, which basically was the force behind the black and white to color transition in the movie industry, was started by two MIT alums and a third guy who didn't go to college but was just apparently a great inventor. And that company was founded in 1915 in Boston, and they just believed that the movies weren't always meant to be in black and white. And they worked on it for decades, and 1939 was the year that kind of Hollywood got to the tipping point, and Gone with the Wind came out that year, and The Wizard of Oz, and Hollywood finally said, oh, these guys from MIT are right, you know, the movie should be in color.
Most of the things on this list, 20th century, right?
Yeah. Well, I think 20th century was really when MIT shifted from being a technical school where you would go to learn how to be an architect or a shipbuilder to being a research university. And so much of that was really fueled by government spending. If you just look at the Pentagon and how much the DARPA group, you know, sort of the advanced research group of the Pentagon, has sent to MIT, that's really what's led to the creation of companies like iRobot. One MIT professor, Rodney Brooks, and two of his students started the company in the 90s. And, you know, they built robots for NASA, that prototype robots that might explore other planets. But the company really has been about developing robots that the military can use to explore areas, caves, and buildings that might be too dangerous to send soldiers into. And, of course, it led to the creation of the Roomba, the robot that vacuums your floors for you.
Hmm. If I have a favorite on the list, it might be number 88. So there was an Englishman named Hugh Lofting, who studied civil engineering at MIT, served in the British Army in World War I. And while he was serving, he was sort of appalled at the mistreatment of horses and during the war. And he started to write a series of stories about these horses and mailing them to his children back home. They were tales of a kind of kindly physician who cared for animals and showed them to his publisher. And a story by the name of Dr. Doolittle was born all the way back in World War I. It's kind of interesting. Then what we learned, and this is number 89 on our list, there actually was a real Dr. Doolittle who went to MIT.
No kidding.
Yeah, James Harold Doolittle was the first person to fly across the U.S. in a single day. In 1929, he flew with his head wrapped in a hood that kept him from seeing out the windows, becoming the first person to fly blind and rely only on cockpit instruments. And so there was a Dr. Doolittle story, fictional, and then there was the Dr. Doolittle, real Dr. Doolittle. So just kind of interesting things we learn.
Fascinating stuff. Let me ask you both this. I'll start with you, Scott. The fact that MIT has produced so many innovations over the years doesn't really come as a surprise. And yet when you see a list like this, it sort of puts it in perspective. I guess my question is, as you dug into this project, what struck you the most? What surprised you the most?
I think it's the combination of the inventiveness of the students. I think it's the entrepreneurial orientation of the university. I mean, much more so than Harvard or lots of other top schools. They said to professors, hey, it's okay that you go start companies. and actually kind of created this policy that said, I think you can spend up to one day a week consulting with or helping to launch companies based on your research. So that really was a big revolution, saying that the professors can be involved in commerce, not just research. So it really is this nice marriage of research that accomplishes breakthroughs in the labs, but also turning them into significant companies. Mm.
Finally, gentlemen, let me ask you about this. At number 108, two names pop up that are very near and dear to many public radio listeners.
Sure. So a lot of people probably don't realize that they are MIT graduates, but they're known to people who listen to public radio, obviously, as Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers on the Car Talk show. And so they've, for years, been educating, amusing, needling car owners. And somewhere along the way, I think it's fair to say that they perhaps changed the way that we perceive and look at what we drive and why we drive it. And so they were certainly worthy of being on our list.
Well, thank you both so much for coming in. It's a fascinating list, and thanks for bringing it in. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks Anthony.
That was Doug Most, Deputy Features Editor for the Boston Globe, and Scott Kersner, the Globe's Innovation Columnist. You can find the full list of MIT's most important innovations in this Sunday's Boston Globe magazine. And if you want, you can submit your guess about that at our website, radioboston.org. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be right back with more. This is Radio Boston.